Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with producer Rosemary Brandt. Rose and I would like to welcome you to our program for this Tuesday, March 25th, 2014. We are here live, 12:04 to 1 each weekday. And of course, we are not only carrying the program live through the airwaves, but also on the internet, live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And thanks to Rose, she posts our program, the podcast, usually within an hour of its conclusion, so you can listen to the program anytime, anywhere at buckmastershow.com. We'll get things rolling down the Tuesday afternoon tracks with Terry Bracey, the Buckmaster Show contributor in Washington, D.C., and 20 minutes past the hour or so, certified financial planner Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Then our candidate series continues. We will talk with the mayor of Mesa. He's also the head of the U.S. Conference on Mayors, Scott Smith, who is a Republican gubernatorial candidate. Then we'll close out the show with Mike Hammond. Mike is president and CEO of PICOR Commercial Real Estate Services in Tucson. We welcome now Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry has enjoyed a long and distinguished career, which began as a key aide to Congressman Mo Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected Washington governmental affairs firm of Bracey Tucker Brown Valenzano, which represents the city of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project. Terry, how are you today?
Well, I'm great. Surviving the snow, Bill.
Yeah, and what a winter you guys are having back there. Snow just goes on and on, and I know you are happy about the Wildcats, though.
Boy, that was poetry in motion, wasn't it?
That
Gonzaga game?
Yeah, amazing.
Just unbelievable. Boy, we're so excited back here. We've got an Arizona fan base. It's really quite large, so we're getting real pumped up for Thursday.
Well, I know you have followed the Wildcats for many years, and I'll tell you, Terry, if they play like they played on Sunday, it will be hard to stop them.
Well, in such brilliant coaching. I mean, really brilliant. So it's great.
Terry, we have a big deadline coming up March 31st, that is Monday, for signing up for the new Affordable Care Act, known to some as Obamacare. A lot of people, Terry, very confused about the combination of federal medical insurance programs, and I wondered if you could take us through them and perhaps put them in context.
Bill, indeed, and I would just add what you said. If there's 6 days left to go, if you don't have insurance, get signed up. But let me try to go through the big programs, the big three. First is Medicare, signed into law by President Johnson in 1965 after a three-decade fight with opposition coming from Southern conservatives who frankly viewed this as socialism. Medicare is now the go-to program for American seniors, including this old guy, and at 65 we all sign up. It covers hospitalization, medical services, and drugs. You can have additional stuff, but insurance, but this is the key. And today it serves more than 50 million Americans at a cost of about $300 billion annually. The program is paid for by payroll taxes, and, Bill, it's generally quite popular. Before we had Medicare, millions and millions of older Americans spent their last years in pure misery without much medical care. So it was a society-changing act by President Johnson.
Then, of course, we have Medicaid, and Terry, it's my understanding this program is not a guaranteed social insurance program, but rather does depend on the willingness of the states to participate, and of course, this does cover the poor. I guess that is the intent, correct?
Exactly. Medicaid was signed into law also in 1965 by President Johnson. But he did not make it a mandatory federal program, although over time, Bill, all the states have adopted it in one form or another, including Arizona.
So it has to be, so it's considered a federal-state partnership.
It is, much like the Affordable Care Act. You're right again. Medicaid was designed to bring medical services and interestingly, Bill, dental services to the poorest of Americans. Each of the 50 states participates now, but benefits vary widely. And often it's not enough, Bill, to be poor. It's done by category. Different states have different particular requirements. Pregnancy, terminal illnesses, age, it could be different things. This program is means-tested, unlike Medicare or Social Security. It's means-tested and delivered, as I said, by category. And, Bill, you have in this program, you have families where a father doesn't qualify, but the children do. And it's just a very complicated program, but it serves, again, about 50 million Americans. And the benefits per state vary widely. Some states are as high as $32,000 per patient. Other states, including Arizona, hold costs down to about $10,000 per capita.
This program, and correct me if I'm wrong, Terry, it has been used widely throughout the country to cover nursing home care.
Bill, it has, and it's very controversial. For years, our families would transfer, of course, with the cost of nursing home just out of sight. Families would transfer their wealth, what they had, and become impoverished so that they could qualify for the federal support and get some nursing home care in the last years of life. Recent budget reforms have tightened that up and recaptured some of that wealth for taxpayers, but Medicaid still is said to cover these end-of-life expenses for almost half of American families. Again, we're talking about a program, to repeat, used by 50 million or more Americans. And, Bill, I thought very interesting, during the last recession, 25% of all California families were enrolled in that program.
Wow, I had no idea it was that high over in California. Terry, I hear this question a lot. With all of these programs in place, why does America need the Affordable Care Act, and who are we missing?
Well, Bill, we're still talking about 40 to 80 million who either have no insurance or are underinsured. People who are too young to qualify for Medicare are not poor enough to qualify for Medicaid. These are young people like me who walked into Georgetown Hospital with broken bones and no way to pay. I was treated and somebody else paid the bill in their personal insurance rate. Or we have millions working in companies or who have been working in companies who do not pay medical care. And those costs then are thrown on the taxpayer. So the Affordable Care Act, or the Obamacare, if you will, attempts to fold the remaining uninsured and underinsured into the system. And yes, it makes each of us pay something.
Well, wasn't that one of the big issues when opponents fought this law in the Supreme Court?
It was. And the president won that one. The court ruled that the government had the right to require this payment under the same authority that it can tax. But interestingly, Bill, the court threw a curveball at the program. A big element of the Affordable Care Act was a massive expansion of Medicaid, making it available to many, many more people. In return, the federal government would send billions to each state to cover the costs in the early years. The court said the program's fine, but, hey, President Obama, you can't require the states to join. So many states have, and some have not. Governor Brewer faced down the opposition from her own party's right wing and decided that Arizona will participate and, incidentally, take billions in federal subsidies.
Well, as we all know, the Republicans are very opposed to the Obamacare program. It will probably be one of the centerpieces of the upcoming elections, the 2014 elections this fall. What are their concerns specifically, Terry?
Well, Bill, to be honest, much of the opposition is just plainly political posturing. In fact, you'll remember the Republican Party gave birth to the idea of Obamacare as its alternative to then-President Clinton's plans for a national health insurance program. You know, that's one reason that President Obama went this direction instead of advocating what many in his own party wanted, which was Medicare for all, a single-payer system. But there are real problems. One complaint is that people who just want catastrophic coverage are being pushed into more expensive choices that include preventive health care, which a lot of people have been advocating, Dr. Weil in Tucson being a major leader. Another complaint is that people worry that they will, that these payments are tending to go to large groups of doctors rather than individual fee-for-service. It's all very technical, but what people worry about, I think needlessly, is that they won't be able to choose their own doctor. And, of course, people don't like to pay a fine. Even if it's $95, they don't want to pay a fine, and, you know, that's one big complaint.
Well, certainly the jury is out on this, but if it works out, it will be, I guess, a major turning point in American history. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I think the jury's out, but I think in 6 days we'll know how many people have signed up, and we'll know if America is on its way to a first attempt at a national health insurance program.
Okay,
big-time stuff.
Terry, we're going to have to run. Thank you very much for joining us, and take care of that cold that you've been nursing there, trying to get over.
I'm going to get out to Tucson real soon.
All right. See you. Thanks, Terry. Okay.
Bye-bye.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 Reverse Osmosis Drinking Water System is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Widened and improved roads, new bike lanes, sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bus pullouts. Many of these safety improvements are funded by the Regional Transportation Authority through its 20-year plan, which is making a difference in our lives.
Hi, I'm Lori. I live near the Twin Peaks Interchange. Since that new interchange and road opened, life has become a whole lot simpler. The new road saves me time, and it's a beautiful drive. I love it.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you since 2006. Visit rtamobility.com or Facebook.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerverde Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And certified financial planner Shelley Fishman joins us now for our Tuesday Moneymaker Report, heard at this time every Tuesday on the Buckmaster Show. Shelley, how are you today?
I'm well. Bill, how are you doing?
Doing very well. Shelley, let's get talk a little bit about the client-advisor relationship. What are some of the important things that a client should discuss with an advisor?
That's a great question, Bill. You know, we've kind of skimmed over this from time to time, and we talk about the necessity to interview several advisors. And one of the things that doesn't get talked about, I think, as openly as necessary and should be, is the fee structure and how an advisor is going to charge for his or her services.
In other words, how the certified financial planner gets paid and how how does it work?
And we talk about that in and we've mentioned it in the past. Some of the things we haven't talked about, however, probably because, you know, money and how people get paid seems to be a pressing issue. But what once you've made a decision to hire a financial advisor or even a financial advisor that you already have and you want to sit down and meet with that person on a regular basis, what kind of things should you talk about? Well, you know, one of the obvious things that you need to talk about is, well, what are my expectations of these investments? You know, how much money do I think I should earn and over what time frames? That's a really good conversation to have, and it's always a little awkward for the advisor because anytime you have a conversation like that, there's some possibility that you will leave in the client's mind a number kind of etched in cement, which might be a good objective, but you know, if the client interprets that as a commitment, of course that would be, you know, not good for that relationship because commitments can be missed. They can be, as you know, we saw last year, I said 12%, we got 30. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, shame on me.
Right.
Now, if you're the advisor and you make that mistake with a client, the client's going to be happy. Mm-hmm. But what, you know, what about the years that the advisor says, okay, well, let's shoot for 15% and you only get 3?
Well, let me ask you kind of a fundamental question. If someone has some money that they would like to invest, is there something, is there a number, how much money to get in the door, in other words? I mean, is there some kind of a limit on how much someone could invest?
Or, no, of course not. There's never a limit.
But it's a question I'm sure people think about.
Oh, sure. And that's one of the reasons that people don't go to advisors. Maybe they you know, go online and do, you know, a discount broker because they don't think they can get the attention of an advisor or that they will the advisor will spend enough time, you know, based upon a small account. And, you know, I'm going to say something that probably could get me phone calls here or maybe from my colleagues. There's some human response that says, I'm going to pay more attention to $1 million client than I am to a $30,000 client.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of human nature that, you know, you want to do that. But it's something you have to fight as an advisor. If you accept a client into your portfolio of investors, then you owe that $10,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 client as much attention and as much of your intellectual resource as you do your very largest clients.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to work hard to make sure you don't fall into any trap of saying, I'm not going to call that guy today. It's just a pain in the neck. Mm-hmm. And there's only 10 grand.
Yeah. Well, what about a goal or goals that you sit down with your...
And I love that question, mm-hmm. Bill. And the reason I love that question is rather than say, let's shoot for 12% a year because mm-hmm. that's been the historical average, mm-hmm. or 10% or 30% or whatever the number is, let's talk about what goals that client has for that investment. Maybe that goal is to buy a new house. Maybe that goal is to buy a helicopter and go to their ski resort.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe the goal is more, you know, more reasonable. I'm, you know, joking about the helicopter, mm-hmm. but maybe it's to, you know, be able to fund a college education for children. If that goal can be made very specific and you determine how much money is going to be required and in what time frame that money will be required to meet that goal, then you can track progress toward the goal, and it doesn't really matter whether you're overshooting or undershooting the S&P 500 or the bond averages or any other index. What you're doing is tracking your progress toward the goal. And if you can set up a relationship with your advisor that is goal-oriented rather than index-oriented, then I think those meetings that you have will be so much more productive because you can, you know, visualize that goal. You can in the power of positive thinking and all of that. But it's something that you can feel. It's palpable. And as you approach the goal, there's a real sense of achievement. And so it's possible for the advisor to be empathically attuned, to use psychological jargon, with that client around some very specific sets of achievements and goals that are meaningful to the client. And so that's what I try to do with clients. Sometimes they just say, I want 12%. I got that. But if they're talking about, you know, 10 years from now, I'd like to be able to retire and have the following things. Boy, that is so much more satisfying for me and ultimately for them.
But somebody might come in and say, I just want to make as much money as possible.
As much money
risk.
As possible is very nonspecific.
And then that is then, okay, well, how much risk do you want to
exactly,
take?
Exactly, and in what time frames?
Exactly. So you set up a time frame and, of course, the whole scale of risk.
Right. But, you know, even a person who comes in and says that,
yeah.
You know, I can always turn around and say to that potential client, why? Now, I'll be more elegant than just say why, but I can certainly, you know, if somebody says I need as much money as possible, that opens up a conversation
yes.
as to why that person feels that way, what the history they have had, what history they've had with other advisors in either achieving that goal or not achieving that goal. And it gives me a clue as to how I can kind of tailor the relationship around what's meaningful to them.
And it is very important to look for a certified financial advisor. It's not something you just send away for.
That's right. That's not a send away. It's 18 credits and graduate work and a 10-hour exam and then 28. No, I think it's up to 30 credits now every 2 years of continuing education. Look, there are good advisors out there who are not CFPs, But one of the things you know absolutely when you get a CFP is they have not only the basics, but they've got the graduate mm-hmm. level stuff, and they take a fiduciary responsibility for you. Therefore, they have to do what's in your best interest, not what's in their best interest.
What's the best way to get a hold of you, Shelley?
Well, several ways. One is on the Buckmaster Show .com site. The other is on the ShelleyFishman.com, and just call me, 940-0884.
Shelley, have a great week.
You too, Bill.
Shelley Fishman is a certified financial planner professional. The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business, it's not personal, it's just business.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Please join us for our special program, Discovery Nights, during March at Biosphere 2. On selected Saturdays in March, Discovery Nights will offer extended hours with family-friendly stargazing and nighttime tours under the beautiful lights of the University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Also, new exhibit previews just being opened to the public for the first time. Visit b2science.org for more information and come visit today. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show, located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 26 years as the place to see one-of-a-kind, new and antique quality rugs. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook, or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
/12:34 now on the Buckmaster Show, the Tuesday edition. 790-2040, 790-2040 is the Buckmaster Show live line. Welcoming us, or we welcome now, the mayor of Mesa, Scott Smith, Republican candidate for governor. He is serving his second term as mayor of Mesa, the third largest city in Arizona, the 38th largest city in America. He is also the president of the United States Conference of Mayors, the first Arizona mayor to ascend to that position. Mayor Smith is a fourth-generation Arizonan who was born and grew up in Tucson. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So, we have not talked to you in a while. How is the campaign going?
You know, it's active. It's going great. We love getting around the state and talking about the vision we have, and it's been interesting to be with the other candidates and find out what they think, too.
Well, the Arizona Republic today has comparing all of the candidates, Republicans, Democrats, and, well, actually the one Democrat who is in the race, about Common Core, and most of the candidates are on board with the Common Core standards, you included, I guess, huh?
Well, I think most of them are sort of trying to play it both ways. And me, I'm for higher standards. I support the standards that we have. I think that the debate over the Common Core has been unfortunate, simply because it's diverted us from the real issue. And is that what's the outcome we want with our children? What are the standards we're going to set for our children? And then allow the school districts and the individual teachers to tailor curriculum that helps meet those standards. And we've sort of been diverted from that over a debate over something called Common Core. I don't care whether you call it Common Core, Uncommon Core, Bill, Fred, Joe, whatever the name is, I want higher standards.
Well, certainly education is going to be a very important topic, but probably the number one topic is how do we create more jobs in Arizona? And what is your solution? What do you see as stimulating Arizona's economy?
Well, I when we talk about the economy and we talk about job creation, I talk about what we've done. I talk about my record in Mesa, and that is that we've focused our attention as government on what we can do best to help facilitate the private sector in making investment. And we've shown real results. And that is through wise planning. That's through smart infrastructure investment, building the right streets and having the right infrastructure available. And then also creating a regulatory environment that fosters investment. In Mesa, we've seen what's happened when we have Apple coming in and investing $2 billion in Mesa and in Arizona for a manufacturing plant. We've kept businesses such as Able Engineering and MD Helicopter from moving out of state that saved hundreds of jobs. And we've been able to show that when you set the stage, when you create an environment, and when you become facilitators and not regulators and be focused on that, the government does have a positive role.
How were you able to lure those 2,000 new jobs in engineering, manufacturing, and construction associated with Apple? What was the secret to getting Apple to select Mesa?
Well, you know, I like to say it was a 5-year overnight success story. There's no doubt we had the right building for Apple, but that was only the beginning. What really happened is 5 years ago, we set in place in the area where Apple's going a system and a program for entitlements that set the stage that whenever an Apple came along, they didn't have to worry about the regulations that were in place. They could go in and they could use that facility for what they needed to. We could be flexible. Then we invested about $10 million in streets and sewer and water, in upgrading the infrastructure in the area so that regardless of whether it was Apple or First Solar or any other company that came in that had a heavy use for that, that was ready to go. We like to say that we had a plug-and-play facility that was ready. So when Apple came in and they looked at the facility, they recognized that the city of Mesa had set the stage. We didn't give Apple any money, but what we did is we gave them a site that they could succeed in. Then when they started talking to us about the specific things they needed from our staff, from our people, permitting, plan review, we had a system set up that really facilitated that process that enabled them to start work almost immediately. Those were the things that were important to Apple. Those are things that are important to businesses, recognizing that they can respond quickly, they can make decisions quickly, and that's what got Apple here.
You think we have a shot at getting Tesla here in Arizona?
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I know that Tesla's looking at the more than one site in Arizona. I know there are some infrastructure challenges with railways. I would love to be able to give them the same kind of experience that we gave them in Mesa. And whether they're in southern Arizona or up here in Maricopa County, I think there's no secret that they're looking at places in both areas, that we can show them that Arizona is a great regulatory environment. We're a great tax environment. The question is can we provide them the people that they need and can we provide them the infrastructure that they need to succeed? I think we've got a good chance. We're going to do whatever we need to show them that Arizona is a good place to do business.
Scott Smith is with us on The Buckmaster Show, Republican candidate for governor, mayor of Mesa. And when when you took over the mayorship in Mesa, I understand the city had about a $62 million budget gap. You were able to kind of reorganize the city workforce. It was cut back by 10%. The budget was balanced. With those cuts, did that mean decreasing the city services by cutting 10% of the workforce?
Well, that was interesting because what we did is approach the problem a little bit differently than I think what most cities do. Most cities cut, they furlough, they limit hours. And we looked at that and said, you know, that's a temporary, that's a Band-Aid. And this is a new environment we're operating in. And so we need to make structural changes. We eliminated departments. We consolidated other departments. And so when we reduced our workforce by 10%, it was really within a new organizational structure. And one of the challenges we gave to our departments was, listen, you're going to have to do more with less. You're going to have to provide the same level of services with fewer resources, and that's a huge challenge. We found we had some great results. In our library system, for example, within 2 years, they had cut their budget by 30%, and yet they were serving more people and moving more volumes than they had before they were challenged to be innovative. Our police department, even though we froze sworn positions and cut a whole bunch of civilian positions, continued great policing. They got more innovative, and over the last few years, we have reached major crime levels in Mesa that we have not seen in over 40 years. And just recently, FBI statistics showed that Mesa was the third safest big city in America. And so what we showed is that you don't have to cut and lower services. You have to be more efficient, you have to be more innovative, and you can still get great results by doing that.
At the United States Conference of Mayors, the organization that you are now heading up, what would you say the number one issue is facing cities of in America right now?
The same issue that's facing our state, and that is jobs, jobs, jobs. What are we going to do as we come out of this recession, this deepest recession, where we've seen not only an economic change, we've seen a societal change. Many of the jobs that disappeared in the recession are not coming back. They just simply aren't. Just like we've done in the city, we've gotten more efficient, and we've done it through innovation and technology. And that's happening in the economy as a whole. So in cities and in states, what we have to do is we have to figure out what this new economy is. In Arizona, we're faced with huge challenges right there in southern Arizona. We have to face up with the reality that Davis-Monthan may adjust. Fort Huachuca has already seen a reduction in personnel and is looking at more. The question is that where will we go? Will we create the new Apple jobs? Will we create the new high-tech and innovation jobs? That's why education is so important, is because there's no doubt that the jobs of the future are going to require education that is top-notch, that's excellent, and also that's beyond high school. And so mayors across the country are faced with the same issues we are. And we really are not a state economy so much as we are a combination of two big economies, the Tucson and the Phoenix economy, which is more and more every day morphing into one giant, literally megapolitan Sun Corridor economy. And that's the challenge we have to face, and we're ready to face it.
Tomorrow on the show, Mayor, we're going to be speaking with the mayor of the Obregon, the second largest city in Sonora. And I wonder, how important is the Mexican-Sonora relations with your game plan if you were to become the governor of Arizona?
It was a central part of my presidency of the U.S. Conference of Mayors. It was one of the two primary initiatives I undertook, which was Trade in the Americas, specializing on trade with Mexico. I've been down to Mexico three times on missions, meeting with top government officials, both in my capacity as the president of the U.S. Conference, but also as a mayor from Arizona, which, when you get down there, is very important because there's no doubt that the Mexicans are looking to Arizona for opportunity. They get the bump we've been through with 1070, and they need assurances that we are open for business and that we want a good relationship. As governor, it would be a top priority for me. I think we have to be honest with ourselves, and the changes in this economy we're living in means we have to look beyond our borders. Mexico is a growing economy, it's a growing market, and if we're not taking advantage of that, which we're not doing right now to the full extent possible, we're missing out. Our economic future is going to be tied with Mexico's economic future, and I will do everything I can to foster that relationship and to build an economy that includes vibrant trade with Mexico.
Well, you're a very busy man, and we do appreciate you taking some time to speak with us. And I'm sure you're trying to juggle several things here with the United States Conference of Mayors, and of course, your duties as mayor of Mesa, and then getting out around the state. Have you been able to travel much around the state during the campaign so far?
Oh, I have. I've been to Kingman, Yuma, Sierra Vista twice, Tucson a couple times, Prescott. I'm getting around. I love to get around this state. We were at a League of Cities meeting just last year there in Oro Valley, and they had a parade of cities, and there's 91 cities and towns in this state. And I could say in my life I've been to, and not just passing through, but actually visited 88 of the 91. It's great getting around Arizona, especially southern Arizona. It's like going home to me. When I was driving through and going down to Sierra Vista last week, I spent a lot of time in my youth down there, and I've really appreciated the opportunity to get back to places that I hadn't been in quite a while. So that's one of the rewarding parts of this campaign.
Mayor Scott Smith of Mesa, thank you very much for talking with us, giving us an update on your GOP gubernatorial hopes. Thanks a lot, Mayor.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me.
Hi, I'm Steve Christie. I've served as an RTA board member since 2009 and through last year as its chairman. The RTA continues to be a most successful regional effort, with the RTA and our member jurisdictions completing so far more than 540 construction projects to reduce congestion, increase our safety, and improve crosstown mobility. As part of the original Citizens Advisory Committee, I'm proud of our citizen-driven plan as well as the RTA's accomplishments. We deliver, we promise. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Another business trip? Why don't you just drive instead of fly?
Well, nobody brings me snacks or drinks in my car. Very seldom do I get to watch a first-run movie or take a nap while driving.
No, seriously. It must be much cheaper to drive.
Not really. I checked out TIA's cost comparison calculator. Flying from Tucson isn't just convenient, it can actually save money.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay, okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us to get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Switch to Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 a month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Get a 30-day money-back guarantee and free professional installation with a 3-year agreement. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Offer ends 4/30/14. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on Cox Business Internet 150 megabits per second service versus basic 1.5 DSL. Actual speeds vary. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply.
Eagle Eye Rare Coins is Tucson's only nationally recognized coin dealer. For more than 20 years, owner and rare coin expert Rick Snow has been Tucson's trusted advisor in evaluating your coins, currency, collectibles, gold, and silver. Eagle Eye Rare Coins at 6464 East Grant Road, next to the Fort Lowell Post Office, and on the web at TucsonSilverAndGold.com or call 498-4615.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show this Tuesday afternoon, 12:50, and this portion of the program is brought to you by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're trying something new this weekend, and if you like handcrafted beers, this would be a great opportunity to drive three and a half hours east of Tucson to the New Mexico Brewers Guild and Little Toad Creek Brewery and Distillery, hosting Silver City's first Brew Fest in historic Silver City this Saturday. So check it out. Go to the website southwestnewmexico.org. It has all the great places to see and stay in Silver City, including Georgetown Cabins and Gila Hot Springs Ranch. Let's welcome now to the Buckmaster Show Mike Hammond. Mike is the president and CEO of PICOR Commercial Real Estate Services in Tucson. Mike is a board chair of the nonprofit Loan Fund of Tucson and Southern Arizona. This is an organization that really has announced its first loans to three local nonprofit organizations, YWCA Tucson, Wingspan, and the International School of Tucson. Hey, Mike, good to see you.
Glad to be here, Bill.
Tell me about this nonprofit Loan Fund of Tucson and Southern Arizona. Why was it created, and what can it do to help some of our qualifying regional nonprofits?
The Nonprofit Loan Fund of Tucson and Southern Arizona was the brainchild of Helene Levy, who runs the Diamond Foundation. She approached Jim Click in 2011 with her idea, and he pulled together a large group of community leaders to discuss the idea. And the actual organization was formed 1 year later to deliver not just loans, but also financial advice to the nonprofit community, of which I'm not sure most folks in Tucson are aware. There's over 3,600 nonprofits in Southern Arizona.
That was a huge nonprofit community, and I don't have any idea if this is accurate, but I think it's got to be per capita probably one of the largest nonprofit groups in the United States. I mean, it's huge.
No question. Tucson has a long history of being more generous per capita than virtually any other community in the country.
And of course, these organizations kind of go the ebbs and flows of their donations, grants, and other types of reimbursements throughout the year. So can your organization really help these folks kind of get through some of these periods?
Yes. The actual niche that the nonprofit loan fund desires to serve is the 12-year need, where an organization gets approved for a grant, for example, but the funding doesn't come in. They need to ramp up and spend money in preparation to deliver the service, and so they need dollars. There's also usually a bump in the year when donations are received, and there's a gap before then that we can fill. There may be some equipment needs that surface that have a short-term life. We look for a verifiable source of repayment, but other than that, we really will listen to any loan 12 months or less.
How do folks qualify? I mean, what do they do to go through the process? I know you've got a 12-member board of directors. Does this board then, Mike, kind of vet the different applications that come into you?
Yes. The actual underwriting is done by the board and the loan committee that is made up of board members. These, for the most part, are community lenders that understand the underwriting process. But who qualifies? First of all, they must be a 501c3 with budgets of at least $250,000 or greater, and they must be in Pima County. There needs to be a 3-year operating history and 3 years of financial information available. And then again, of course, a verifiable source of repayment. But other than that, we don't have any particular type of not-for-profit or mission other than to expand the ability of these not-for-profits to deliver their services to their constituents, to those in need.
So the loan fund of Tucson and Southern Arizona was really, it's supported by the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona, which is really a fine organization that kind of flies below the radar screen, but without them, this would really be a lesser community, I believe, Mike.
Yes, we actually had a lot of parts to fill on how we delivered these services, and the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona stepped up very early in the process and said that they will house the organization. They were also one of the first to provide some of the seed money for operational costs. Since then, we've pulled together a number of other organizations that are very much involved in the not only in the lending side, but also in the operational side. For example, the Pima County Industrial Development Authority, the Tucson Industrial Development Authority, Habitat for Humanities. These folks have put in some loan dollars and also put in some capital for operations. There's others too: Business Development Finance Corporation, Community Finance Corporation, BMO Harris Bank, Tucson Bank. It's really a collaborative effort of both private and public sector in how the operational and lending sides are coming together to deliver the services to the community.
So the first loans going to YWCA Tucson, Wingspan, and the International School of Tucson, is the plan then to do this on an annual basis, or?
Well, we have certain goals, and we're certainly in the informational stage where we're actually meeting with not-for-profits to tell them what we can do for them, because many are very debt adverse. They need to understand how debt can be a tool. The three loans that we have made, we would prefer, or our goal is a better way to say it, is to do two loans of $50,000 per month. So we'd like to do 24 loans this year of $50,000 each. And we're well on our way. We opened our doors really the beginning of this year, and we funded three loans in the last 3 months.
So you think there'll be 24, possibly 24, did I hear you say, in a 12-month period?
We'd like to think so. To tell you the truth, we don't know. Mm-hmm. We do feel that there's a niche not only for the dollars, but also for the technical training. Mm-hmm. We sometimes, because these not-for-profits are more inclined to deliver their service than to really have tight financial information, we have to help them sometimes.
Kind of the back office stuff.
Absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Where they're out front doing their job and delivering their goods and services to people who really need it in Tucson, but the back office stuff suffers sometimes.
Sure.
Mike Hammer, we're going to have to run, but where can people find out more? Maybe go to the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Would that be a starting place?
That would be a starting point. We also have a website that you can go to, www.nonprofit-loans.org, to learn more information. Also, the loan documents, the loan process, everything is on that website. A lot of transparency on the process.
All right. A very attractive service, certainly, for the many nonprofits in Tucson. Mike, thanks for being on the show.
My pleasure, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is supplied by Culligan Better Water, Pure and Simple. Culligan for all your year-round residential and commercial water needs. We thank Culligan, all of our in-studio guests. Enjoy a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. Coming up tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, right here on AM 1030 KVOI. It's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. And then Chris DeSimone's new show is The Daily Double. Chris and a guest host every day from 8 to 9 right here on AM 1030 KVOI. The Voice. On behalf of producer Rosemary Brad, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at kvoi.com.